This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. And Jesus said to the 12, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher, and the slave like the master. And if they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they malign those of his household? And so have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. And so do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will also deny him before my Father in heaven. The Gospel of the Lord. And so, Heavenly Father, as we come to your word, we pray that we would hear not just the words of men, but the words of God. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We are so glad you are in good health. Amen? I was getting worried, man. Praise God. God is good. All the time. God is good. And so today, previously as noted, we are beginning a four-part teaching series that we call the Simple Series. And in this series, we'll be describing and explaining in some detail that model of ministry that we are presently pursuing here at Holy Cross, a model of ministry designed to help us be more authentic disciples of Jesus Christ and to help others to be more authentic disciples of Jesus Christ. Indeed, being disciples of Jesus Christ and helping others to do the same is the church's primary mission. Indeed, as we read in Matthew 28, sometimes referred to as the Great Commission, we read, and Jesus came and said to them, this is after his resurrection and after his ascension, before his ascension, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And so go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so since this is what Jesus wants us to be doing, to be making disciples at Holy Cross, we are attempting as best we can to make this simple purpose the primary focus of all that we do. And the process for accomplishing this simple purpose is as simple as the purpose itself. Indeed, in order to be disciples of Jesus Christ ourselves and to help others to be disciples, we want to commit ourselves and also invite others to join us in pursuing this simple four-step process. Now, in order to get a handle on the process, we've created this simple visual. The first step, as you may know, is to worship God regularly. The second step is to grow together faithfully. The third step is to serve others lovingly. And the fourth step, which takes you back to the first step, because once you've started the first step and the second and the third, the steps never end. There never is an arrival. You just keep on doing them. The fourth step is to mature in Christ continuously. And today we're talking about that first step in the process, and that is worship God regularly. Simply put, to worship God regularly means making worship together with other believers a personal priority. that is a spiritual habit, something that you do regularly and consistently, and as a personal spiritual discipline. Indeed, the word disciple, you might have thought about that, and if you think about it as it's written, the word disciple and the word discipline are closely related. Indeed, a disciple, amongst other things, is a person who engages in discipline. And to be a disciple of Jesus Christ is to engage in the same disciplines that Jesus himself engaged. And one of the disciplines that Jesus engaged consistently and regularly was to worship with others on a weekly basis. Indeed, Jesus worshiped God regularly. And so we read in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 4 and verse 16, and Luke writes, "And Jesus came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day." Indeed, Jesus didn't just do 9 of the commandments, he did all 10. And including the fourth, to keep the Sabbath day holy. Holy meaning that it's set aside, it's special, and has a special purpose. And as we've already noted, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ is to do as Jesus did. In fact, Jesus himself said that, and we read it in our gospel reading today from the 10th chapter of Matthew, where Jesus says, "A disciple's not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It's enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master." And so if you should wake up on a Sunday morning and you're tempted to stay home and skip church and you're wondering, you know, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Well, the answer to the question is that Jesus would go to church. And how do we know that? Because Jesus did go to church. Indeed, Jesus worshiped God regularly and habitually. As Luke says, Jesus worshiped every Lord's Day, as we would put it, as was his custom. As we might describe it today, Jesus was a regular churchgoer. Indeed, when the people of God gathered together to worship, Jesus was there. And to be a disciple and a follower of Jesus is to do the same. And so that's the first thing. Jesus worshiped God regularly. Secondly, the scriptures say that God is with us in a special way when we worship him regularly. Indeed, Jesus himself says that he is present with us in a special way when we gather together in his name. You're familiar with what Jesus said in the 18th chapter of Matthew. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20, "And wherever 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, there I am among them," or with them, in their midst. Indeed, the scripture says that God inhabits the praises of his people. In Psalm chapter 22 and verse 3, the psalmist says, "And yet you, Lord, are holy, enthroned in the praises of your people." To be enthroned means to be seated, to be seated, to be abiding, to be present, to indwell, to inhabit. And so we have it in the King James traditionally, "The Lord inhabits the praises of his people." The point being that God is present in a special way when we gather together to worship him. Now this, of course, doesn't mean that God isn't everywhere, or that we can't worship him at any time and any place, because we can. It simply means that God wants us to worship him together, seemingly. In fact, Jesus said that to the woman at the well, that God seeks worshipers, not singular, but in the plural. And that God is present in a special way when we gather together to worship him. As the scripture says, God inhabits the praises of his people. And so that's the second thing. God is with us in a special way when we worship him regularly. Then thirdly, if you like, there is the challenge of worshiping God regularly. Indeed, for some self-described followers of Jesus Christ, worshiping God regularly seems a hard thing to do. And the reason is that it's hard is, I suppose, because worshiping God regularly is a commitment. And if you would make worshiping God regularly your own habit and custom, then you have to decide that this will be your commitment. Indeed, seeing worship is only one of many things that you might do on any given Sunday morning isn't the same as committing to worshiping God regularly. Indeed, if you would take worshiping God regularly as a personal spiritual discipline, you'll have to decide and commit to it, and then to all the spiritual blessings we might note that you gain from it. Indeed, Richard Foster, in his book, Celebration of Discipline, said the purpose of the disciplines is spiritual growth. And as someone else has written, regular worship, like all the spiritual disciplines, is about the power of cumulative effect. The power of cumulative effect. That is to say, the more you do it, the more you gain from it. Or as someone else again has written, regular worship is about deliberately investing time in worship and then as a result accumulating the personal spiritual capital that is gained from it. Indeed, the scriptures say that God rewards those who are committed to worshiping Him regularly. In fact, Bill read that, the last verse of that passage from Hebrews chapter 11, and verse 6, and without faith it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and must believe that He rewards those who diligently seek Him. And to commit ourselves to worshiping God regularly is to honor God. And God's promise to those who honor Him is that He honors them. In fact, that's what God said through the prophet Samuel, 1 Samuel 2 and verse 30. Those who honor Me, I will honor. And Jesus Himself put it this way in His famous parable of the talents. Matthew chapter 25, and His master came and said to Him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, and I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." And so perhaps you'd like to be more than just an interested bystander when it comes to faith in Jesus Christ. Perhaps you'd like to be a real disciple, a real follower of Jesus Christ, but you're not exactly sure where to begin. Well, if that describes you, I'd like you to start with step one. Commit yourself to worshiping God regularly and be faithful to God with this little thing. And watch what happens. It's not complicated. Indeed, it's simple, as all the disciplines are. But in order for us, for a spiritual discipline to work, to bear fruit in our lives, we have to commit to it. And so that's the first step. Worship God regularly. And step one, as I mentioned earlier, is just the beginning. Indeed, the process that we're talking about has four steps. And so next week, we'll talk about step two, which is grow together faithfully. And if you commit yourself to step one, I guess we'll see you then. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Well, Lord, we know, because it's a free country, we don't have to worship You, but we get to worship You. We get to worship You. We get to commune with You. I'll never forget the words of Hans Kug and his friends saying, "Oh, for goodness sakes, Hans, why did you become a Christian?" And he said that I might be truly human. You created us. You're our creator. You, through your Son, Jesus Christ, you've redeemed us. You're our redeemer. And you, through the special working of the Holy Spirit, you sustain us. It's in you that we live and move and have our being. What is human life and existence apart from connecting to that? What is it? What is it to live without you being our vision and the center and fulcrum of all things for us? Kug would say, that's not living at all. It is just existing. And so, Lord, speak to our hearts. This, what might seem like a burden, and yet it is a blessing. And maybe if it doesn't seem like it would be a blessing, we'll have to just take it from you by faith. And just do it. And maybe be surprised after so committing that the promises you've made to us are true. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.